Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cold Feet Podcast. Join our journey as we interview people in this cold plunge and we delve on the adventure of holistic health, athletic development, barefoot education, questioning the norm, and so much more. So dive in, grab a hot cocoa, and enjoy the episode.
Before we start our podcast episode, we would like to give a brief shout out to our podcast sponsors. Most shoes harm your mobility by over-restricting your foot's natural movement. With the Ursus from Barefoot Athletics, a shoe designed with minimal restrictions, your feet can move the way nature intended, so you can move with more confidence and strength in every step. Barefoot Shoes was founded by Chris Duffin, who attributes proper foot biomechanics as foundational to his success in squatting and deadlifting over 1,000 for reps. He created Barefoot Shoes to provide a minimal shoe designed for strength athletes. Go to barefoot.shoes/TBSR to check out the Ursus, and you can save 10% with the code TBSR10 to purchase the strongest minimalist shoe available. As a gym owner, I usually lift barefoot. When I can't lift barefoot, I love lifting in my barefoot shoes for both the health benefits of lifting barefoot and the increased ground feel I have in all my lifts. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, and get healthy, but the right ones can help. That's why over 350,000 fitness folk have chosen Legion. Well, that and their 100% natural products, their clinically effective ingredients and doses, and their no-hassle money-back guarantee. I've been following Michael Matthews, the CEO of Legion Athletics, journey since 2012, and I am super duper impressed with their supplements. They have a wide variety of everything from protein powders, pre-workouts, post-workouts, omega-3s, and bundles. And you can save a whooping 20% with the discount code HABER, H-A-B-E-R. So just log in to legionathletics.com, and the discount code is HABER for 20% off. Earthrunners are some of my favorite minimalist sandals. Earthrunners were created to rewild our lives in response to the typical modern domesticated lifestyle, which is causing numerous health, psychological, and social issues. Through rewilding and grounding, we aim to bring stronger, healthier, and more resilient individuals and communities back to our society. If you're not familiar with grounding is exposing your bare feet or body to the earth beneath you. And if you're unable to do that, you can ground with sandals like Earthrunners with their unique copper plug and copper laces. Grounding has a huge display of benefits such as reducing inflammation, improving sleep, and improving happiness. So you can check out Earthrunners at earthrunners.com, and you can use our discount code of TBSR10 to get 10% off. Every now and then, one of my athletes in my online programming curriculum asks me some very, very good questions, and I'll usually reply in a voice note. Now, because there was a ton of good questions here, I really want to dive in and say this as a podcast, so my other athletes and you guys and girls can benefit from as well. So around every 6 to 12 weeks, I give my athletes a program update, obviously depending on their goals. I ask them if they have any tournaments or any games or any other side goals that they want to work on, even if it's things like I want to get better at a muscle up or handstands or other skill-based movements. So this is a answer to one of my athletes, Delaney, who is a lacrosse player and a coach. And right now she doesn't really have any tournaments coming up. So she is lifting, building her strength three to four times a week, and doing, you know, just general movement, biking, swimming, running around town. Now, I'm great with that because the term cardio is thrown around a lot. You know, I got to do my strength and I got to do my cardio. And I think that's a very, very close-minded way of looking at it, because that's the bodybuilding approach. And the bodybuilding approach uses cardio as a tool primarily for weight loss and calorie burning. That's it. Or the other term, muscle toning, which is a little bit of a bullcrap term. I would much rather adding in resistance training 3, 4, 5 times a week and adding in daily movement, which either is for general longevity and health, and that could be hiking, walking, running, swimming, mobility, taking your dog out, playing casual sports, or it can be specific, like
working on your speed or hill sprinting or sled sprinting or working on your game time agility. For non-athletes or people with non-athletic based goals or people who are completely off season, they're better off doing a form of movement every day because it's much more fun, much more rewarding, and it doesn't put them in this punishing cycle of I must run 3-4 times a week. Now, if you are a runner, I do recommend running. If you are a competitive cyclist or are competing in the local 50 kilometers to raise money for Grandma Bob, probably not Grandma Bob, probably more like Grandma Sally, then I do suggest doing some sort of cycling to get ready for it. But if you don't have those goals, then just ensuring that you're getting some sort of progressive movement every day that's fun and engaging is important. So that's where I think about cardio. Now, the next thing that came up is that her new gym is going to have a Smith machine and no squat rack. Now, I'm not gung-ho against machines. In fact, I'm a very open-minded coach. I am open-minded to you getting off the couch and doing some sort of work. The problem with Smith machines, and this is known already, and I've spoken about it on podcasts before, is that it puts you in a very, very, very fixed, unnatural position. Now, as I explore more down the movement road, and I've been listening to guys like David Weck and the Goda Method, it's very possible that the barbell bilateral squat also puts you in a very fixed position. But I definitely feel that a regular barbell or goblet squat or front squat has greater carryover to vertical force production and your ability to be strong and be fast on the field than putting you in a very, very fixed range of motion. So while the Smith machine does have its uses, such as calf raises and even shrugs, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things you can do with it. I love it for inverted rows. It puts you in a very, very awkward squat position, which has very little carryover to game time mechanics. So I would rather that you take a heavy-ass kettlebell or dumbbell and do goblet squats. You can also do lunges, step-ups, Bulgarian lunges, single-leg RDLs, lateral. There's no shortage of lower-based body movements that can be done with a dumbbell, kettlebells, and other various things. She also mentions there's treadmills, cardio equipment. General, I won't use a treadmill. I'll always run in the field or outside. If I must use a treadmill, it'll be a curved treadmill. I personally haven't stepped on a treadmill since the Army days. I always run outside because this goes back to the concept that a treadmill is that a running this goes back to the concept that running is just a way to burn calories. No, running is a skill. And if I want to improve at running, I must run on terrain, on rocks, on grass, on sand, on dirt and gravel, and get used to that skill. So if I want to be good at running on turf, I should run on turf. If I want to be good at running on grass, I should run on grass. And I have to get used to running on these various terrains and letting my body adapt to it. A curved treadmill tends to mimic the natural stride the most. If you're not familiar with what a curved treadmill is, it is basically a treadmill that is not electric powered, but powered by your feet. So the faster you run, the faster it gets, like you would in real life. cardio equipment, cables is fantastic. They all have their place in life. I don't think there's anything wrong with them, but it very probably will have little, likely not have a high carryover to your sport. She mentioned she's doing tons of cardio every day, enjoying hiking and biking a lot. She's off season. She has no tournaments coming up. Fantastic. That is what I like. I love to hear that. She's having fun. She also said, I'm not going to be doing much agility and sprint because there's no field for me to run on. So first of all, I get that. Second of all, you're off season, you have no tournaments in a while. You don't necessarily really need to do agility sprint work. I do like incorporating even off season, and I'm talking to someone who's not really competing anything at the moment. I do really like incorporating sprint work at least once a week, if not twice a week. I would say once a week I incorporate hill sprints, and once a week I play ultimate frisbee for around 6 hours, and I'm always around running for the end zone to catch the frisbee, so I get a lot of, you know, sport-specific sprint work there. But I do incorporate sprint mechanics in on a 2 to 3 times weekly basis in my drill work. So when the day comes that I do have to sprint, which is quite often because I play a lot of sports, I'm there. I'm fast. My mechanics are always, and I don't have to rebuild from scratch. So I recommend touching up on sprint mechanics once or twice a week, even if you're off-season, even if you don't have a field. Doing speed and agility work is not as fun without a field, but there is many ways to do it, such as finding a hill as an alternative to a sled, but it's not inherently needed. The last question, and this is a great question, and we're going to clarify it right now, and we're going to end this short but sweet podcast Q&A, virtual Q&A with myself. Quote, also, I'm pretty bulked and jacked now, which I'm obsessed with, but maybe more workouts with higher reps and lower weight. Does the cut make you look shredded more so than bulking? trying to learn the different types of lifts and what it does to the body. So before I answer, I'm contemplating calling on a guest to the podcast who is the one and only Sarah, who has been lifting heavy for many, many years, and she is shredded, lean, and muscular. And I don't really think that she passes the 6 rep range in her workout. So Sarah, with your permission, can I please have you answer this question? And the question is like this, from one of my athletes. Quote, "I'm pretty bulked and jacked now, which I'm obsessed with, but maybe more workouts with higher reps and lower weight. Does a cut make you look shredded more so than bulking? I'm trying to learn the different types of lifts and what it does to the body." What she's basically asking is, if I want to get cut and more lean after building muscle, should I be lifting higher reps for lower weight? The reason why I'm calling Sarah up on the stage is because I don't think she passes the 6 rep range in her workouts, and she's quite muscular, quite lean, and she uses her lifting for performance. Okay, so Sarah, this is the first time on my podcast. I'm honored to have you here. Please go ahead.
Hey, so to answer that question, not inherently will lowering the weights and doing higher repetitions cause you to be more leaner. A lot of it has to do with your food intake and what you're eating throughout the day, as well as your movement behaviors outside of the gym, not just in the gym. You could be lifting certain ways in the gym, but a lot of it, I think, has to do with what you do outside of the gym as well. How you spend your day, how much movement you're doing. Are you sitting in a desk for 8 hours a day, or are you hiking? Are you swimming otherwise? Are you hanging out, playing frisbee with your friends, walking your dog, getting other movement in throughout the day? So there's a lot of factors that come into play, not just the repetitions that you're going to do in the gym.
Thank you so much for coming and featuring in our podcast. It's such a privilege to have you. Thank you, Sarah. You can continue enjoying your dinner. I'm going to clarify on that a little bit, and I'm going to add to what Sarah said. So what Sarah is largely saying is that if I want to get leaner, it's largely how much calories I am burning or using throughout the day. Now, I like what Sarah said is a lot of bodybuilders have the approach of calories in, calories out, right? So if I want to get leaner, I just have to eat less. And that's true, but obviously it matters the protein intake you eat. But even more so, what matters is the movement you get through the day. Because as an athlete, and I know you are one, and I assume that a lot of people out there that are listening to this podcast are athletes as well, it's very important that you get plenty of movement throughout the day. And when I say movement, I don't mean just your workouts or just your sports or just your field sessions, but rather tons of movement. The more movement I get throughout the day, the more calories I'm burning, but even more so, the more low impact work I'm getting for my joints, the higher my longevity will be, the better my health will be, the better my mood will be, and obviously the leaner I will be because I'm just moving more. So if in any pinch, I would always rather eat more and move more than eat less and move less. On that note, there's a concept in the world called tissue work. And tissue work is kind of like what we do with mobility, where we do certain movements in higher rep ranges, whether you call them mobilizations or activations or whatever, where you get your joints and your muscles used to high rep ranges. But as an athlete, you want a good 60 to 80% of your work to be in that heavier rep range because that's what's going to build strength and muscle. Now, to really answer your question about upping the reps and lowering the weight when you are trying to get lean is a no. And the reason is as follows. When you are trying to get lean, you are trying to maintain slash increase, if you can, your muscle mass as much as possible. So if I start lowering the weight on my lifts or my movements, I'm essentially telling my body, hey, body, I no longer need this much strength and muscle. Now, if you're in a calorie deficit, meaning you're eating less than you need, which is what usually happens when you try to get leaner, your body is a little bit more desperate to get rid of extra things that it doesn't want, in this case, muscle. Because you're telling your body, hey, body, I am giving you less food than you need. In addition to that, I'm no longer lifting as heavy. So the body's like, all right, let me get rid of this muscle that I don't need. Whereas if I eat enough protein, and I do maintain that 100 kilo on the bench press, I'm basically telling my body, hey, body, you need this muscle to stick around even though you're in a calorie deficit. So if you want to maintain your strength best when getting leaner, you should be lifting just as heavy in that 3 to 5, 4 to 6 rep range. I hope this answers your question, but there's definitely a place to get plenty of, you know, if you want to do Tabata circuits and conditioning circuits and other bikes and fun and swimming and hiking, please do. But you still want to get the 2 to 3 heavy days a week lifting just to remind your body about its maximum strength capacity. Trying to learn. So I hope that answered your question about, does the cut make you look more shredded, more so than bulking? Yes, getting leaner will make you look more shredded. You'll see more abs. You'll see more vascularity. Both women and men, you know, better, I don't really like the term so much, but better toned butt, glutes, hamstrings. But someone who has a large amount of muscle will look good with or without a shirt, both on a bulk and a cut. I do want to speak about a bulk. A bulk is a very bodybuilding concept. Like, athletes should never be getting to that point of body fat or even weight where they're that heavy, unless they're like a heavyweight fighter where they must make that weight for their class. They should always be striving to stay at a, I wouldn't even say lean, like 10-pec lean, but more like, you know, somewhere between 10 to 15% body fat for men and somewhere between like 18 to 30% body fat for women. I probably have to mess around those numbers a bit, especially for women. But they should have a healthy amount of body fat on their body, especially if they're playing any sort of contact sport, some extra padding. And they should focus on performance and function. So if they're not 6-pec lean, in fact, if they're not even 2-pec lean, it's okay as long as it's not, as long as the excess body fat is not affecting their performance. I'm always about performance over aesthetics. And that 10% body fat or 20% body fat is not an achievable number for athletes who are constantly fueling and training all the time. Trying to learn the different types of lifts and what it does to the body. Cutting and bulking. Compound lifts are always the way to go. So we got multiple joint movements, squats, deadlifts, lunges, hip thrusts, pull-ups, dips, push-ups, handstands, bench press, shoulder press, power cleans, jumps, carries, heavy rotations, sprinting. All these things are going to burn the most calories, produce the most force simultaneously, and give you the biggest bang for your buck. In fact, if you're don't have as much time, then you should be lifting, going through those main lifts, lift some heavy ass weight. That's what I do once, twice a week, besides, you know, my regular regimen. Lift some heavy as possible weight a couple times a week in a few different planes of motion, and you're good to go. I hope this answers your question, and I'm looking forward to the future Q&As. If you guys ever have a question, you can Instagram me at the Barefoot Athlete or the Barefoot Shoe Review. You can shoot me a Facebook message. You can email me, and you can always reach out, and I'll be happy to do a future Q&A. Q&A, peace out, and have an amazing rest of week.
Hey, I'm Sean, and I'm the Barefoot Athlete, and I want to welcome you on this 6-week Barefoot Transition course. 2.5 years ago, we started developing this course, and we wanted it to be 12 months long. Why 12 months? Because we felt that if you just spent dozens of years in cushioned shoes, you can't transition that quickly. Realizing that 12 months is not sustainable, we shortened it to 6 weeks. And in these 6 weeks, you're going to dive into foot, knee, ankle, hip, shoulder mobility. You're going to dive into calf, ankle, knee, hip strengthening. You're going to learn how to take care of your feet, how to release them with tons of soft tissue work. After the first phase is over, after the 3 weeks are done, your pain is gone. Your knees, your hips, your feet are feeling great, ready to rumble. Move on to the advanced stage. We learn how to land. We learn how to jump. You learn how to produce force and absorb force. Every single week is action-packed with play, fun, challenges to challenge yourself, your friends, your loved ones, and your community. Tons of strengthening, tons of footwork, and we can guarantee you that in 6 weeks' time, you will be much, much closer to being able to fully love life and live life in minimalist footwear. And the best part of it all, you're not limited to 6 weeks. So if you want to go back and repeat a phase, you're more than welcome to. So let's go, come along, and enjoy the course.